You are tuning into the True North Church podcast. Our prayer is that you would be inspired and encouraged by today's message. For more information about True North Church, please visit us online at truenorthak.org.
Hey, I might as well. My name's Mark. I'm one of the pastors here. And I thought I would start out with an Easter egg joke, but I don't think it's all that's cracked up to be, so I'm not going to do that. That was a bad dad joke, wasn't it? Okay, so... Hey, we live stream this gathering. We also have some folks in Overflow. Would you give it up for those that aren't able to be here in the auditorium, but they're in the Overflow upstairs or online? Good to have you here with us. Again, next week we are jumping into a new series called Hope for Mental Health. And I'll tell you, the reason that we even wrote this series was a few months ago, one of my best friends had a daughter who spent most of the summer in the fourth floor at FMH. And I was going like, wait a second here. We believe God can heal, God can deliver, God can do that. But how come at times there's people who walk through life with some life-controlling challenges with mental health? And so we want to be a church that realizes, let's remove the stigma, let's embrace it, let's talk about it. There's so many needs out there. And so Brian Pingle is a close friend of mine. Has several adult children that live with mental health, mental illness, and yet are very functioning. He's going to come talk about how do we help people. And so it's a free seminar. There is limited space. So when I say register, we don't just say that to register. We have a funeral here the same day. So the seminar will be at our other campus, which is a little smaller. And so if you want to be a part of that, do that. There's a lot. We're a church for our city. And so one thing I want to just make a quick announcement about, we have Celebrate Recovery starting in a few weeks. If you know someone that struggles with sobriety, that needs a Christian-based a 12-step program, would love to be a resource for them. And we also have grief share and divorce care. And if you have cancer, we have a cancer support group. Love to be that for you. Don't have to even attend our church, but we'd love to be a resource for you if you're walking through some of those difficult seasons. We believe that God can do miracles. How many believe that? I mean, he rose from the dead, so hey, if he can do that, he can do everything else, right? Have you ever had another? Yeah, I got to tell this joke because I think it was the best one first service. Okay, why are Easter bunnies more tired when Easter's in April? It's been a long march. Thank you. See, that wasn't that bad. All right, okay. Now, anyone here? I'm going to ask you a question. Anyone here ever had, I had this day, I was watching some of the, March, anyone been watching March Madness at all? In fact, my team's playing South Carolina right now, and I don't know what the score is, but I'm recording it, okay? The Elite Eight, but yesterday I was watching, South Carolina play, or someone play, I forget who I was watching, and I'm watching, and I'm like hungry. So I go to where?
Fridge.
And this has probably never happened to anyone else, but I'm just being vulnerable, okay? So I walk to my fridge, I open it up, I look in there, I don't see anything that I want. So I shut the refrigerator. I'm thinking like, man, what am I hungry for? And I check my weather app. I check something else. I walk outside. I don't know. And I walk back. And I walk back to the same refrigerator. And I open it up. And there's still nothing in there I want. Does anyone ever have that problem? Am I the only one? Or it's a closet or your pantry or my kids. I don't know. You don't have any food in the house. I'm so hungry, I can eat an elephant. Really? An elephant? I think that's a picture of us sometimes. And I want to look at that today. I think many of us from time to time in life are looking for a solution to our hunger or an appetite, only to find out that where we're looking still seems empty. And I want to look at the story today about Jesus and the resurrection that illustrates our tendency as humans to look for life and fulfillment and meaning at times in empty places. Now, to start the story, I want to look through, the last week in the Christian world, the last 7 days is a Holy Week, and last Sunday was Palm Sunday, and it kicks off the Holy Week, and on Monday, just went to the Mount of Olives and prayed, and there's a few things, we don't know a whole lot about Wednesday, but Thursday, there's the Passover, the Last Supper, and that's where the first time we have recorded at USC in the world, where they all got on one side of the table, took a picture, and we have the Last Supper. And we know Jesus said someone's going to betray me today, and Judas slips out, and for 30 silver coins later on in the Garden of Gethsemane, on Friday, he's praying in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's betrayed by Judas for a kiss, and he's put on a mock trial, and then he carries a cross up the hill, and he's crucified in Golgotha, and he dies that first day, and they expected him to live a little longer, but he dies. And in Luke chapter 23, I want to pick up with a story. And in verse 50, it says, now there was a man named Joseph, a member of the council, a good and upright man who had not consented to their decision and action. He came from the Judean town of Arimathea, and he himself was waiting for the kingdom of God. In other words, he didn't agree that Jesus should be crucified, and so he sees this innocent man on a cross, and he says, and so he goes up to Pilate, who crucified him, and said, Pilate, can I have Jesus' body? So they took him down, and the Bible says they wrapped him in a linen cloth. They placed him in a tomb cut in the rock that he paid for. It was his tomb, one in which no one had ever been laid. So that no one had ever laid there. It was a brand new. It was like opening day for this tomb. And it was preparation day, which means that Saturday, preparation day, was when they prepared everything because the next day was the Sabbath, and they couldn't do work. And then it says this, and the Sabbath was about to begin. But the next verse says, the women, say women. How many want to know life's better because of women? How many want to know you're here because there's a woman that was willing to love you? Never mind. So the women who'd come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how his body was laid in. So they saw from a distance, they saw how Jesus was brought and put into a borrowed tomb, and he laid, and where he laid, and I guess he was wrapped in linen cloths and prepared that way. And then it says this, on the first day of the week. Back up. The women, went home and prepared spices and perfume, but they rested on the Sabbath in obedience with the commandment. So what they do on the Sabbath, they rest on the Sabbath, but before that they prepared perfume and spices. And then in verse 1 of chapter 24, it says, on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they'd prepared and went to the tomb. Now, I don't consider myself a scholar, but I did do some research, and I found this is the first time in any type of written literature you are introduced to the historical Spice Girls. You think it's funny, it's not. Now, they prepared spices. Now, we don't know a lot about, spices other than they don't grow spices in that part of the region. They were imports. And they prepared spices and perfumes. And if it's anything like the alabaster jar of perfume in John chapter 12 that was broken over Jesus' feet, that cost 300 denarii, which in our culture, pre-inflation was $55,000. So I don't know. Now, all I know is that we're going to see in a moment that they went to the tomb early in the morning to put the spices on a dead body to make it smell better. And there wasn't a long line of other people that lined up to do this. So Jesus was very important to these two or three women. Very important. Important enough that they spent money. They spent perhaps some of their future earnings. We don't know, but it cost money. Whether they did the Value Village spices or they did top of the line, ordered it from Trader Joe's spices. I don't know, or wherever. But I know this, that they prepared these spices for someone who was valuable for them. He was important to them. Important enough to spend their own money. Important enough to potentially shape their future financial life. And I want to look at this story this morning. And while looking at it, I want to discuss three questions that Easter's asking. Three questions that this story implores us to ask. If you have a worship guide, you can follow along and take notes. For you melancholics, I'll make sure I fill all five blanks in for you, or six blanks. But three questions this story asks. The first one is, how many of us spend too much time, energy, and money trying to make our dead things smell better or look better? See, these women, they're on their way to the tomb. They prepared the spices and the perfume, and the Gospel of Matthew shares the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. They're similar. They share the same story. And on this, on their walk to the tomb, they're asking themselves the question, you know, how are we going to get the stone rolled away? So they're surprised when they show up, because they arrive and the stone's already been rolled away. And I want to read this account. It says they found, in verse 2 of chapter 24, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. In other words, opening. But when they entered it, so the stone's rolled away, they entered it and they did not what? They saw how the body was laid. They didn't see a body of the Lord there. It was empty. He wasn't there. And so they walk out of the tomb. They're kind of astounded. They're kind of amazed. They're kind of shocked. They're kind of surprised. And it says, while they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed with white or lightning stood beside them. There's two angels, angelic presence there. And in their fright, the women, the spice girls, they bowed down with their faces to the ground. And the men said to them, tell me what you want, what you really, really want. I'll tell you. No, sorry. I had to do that. Yes, I am that kid in third grade, yes. No, that's not what the angel said. The angel said, why do you look for the living among the dead? They prepared spices. They waited until the appropriate time. They expected to get to the tomb to be able to put the spices on Jesus' dead body to make him smell better. They arrived and the stone was rolled away. Jesus wasn't there. And the angel said, why are you looking for the living in a cemetery? I can't help but think that maybe, perhaps, some of us in this room today, or listening online, or listening to the overflow, are like these women today. You've lost something valuable. Something important has been taken away. You're looking for answers. You have a dilemma. You can't find what you're looking for. Some of you have lost something very dear, valuable, relationships, career, a marriage, hopes, dreams, a child, opportunities. I don't know, but there's probably pain associated to it. There might be drama associated to it. There might be mind monsters that keep you awake associated to it. And it's drained you. It's derailed you. And maybe like these women, you just want to make it smell better. Somehow, can I just make life look better? How do I get life back to normal? But life has thrown surprises. You didn't expect the divorce, didn't expect to get fired, didn't expect to be going through what you're going through right now. And in your own way, in your own defense mechanisms, in your own way of coping with life, it's like, how do I just get to smell better? Look, and you just want it covered over with something that smells better because you're tired of the smell. And I want to tell you what the angel says. You're not going to find what you're looking for here. This is a cemetery. Where you're looking's dead, they said. Where only dead people are here. You're looking for life in all the wrong places. It's like that old song, you're looking for love in all the wrong. But some of us are looking for life in all the wrong places. You're in a cemetery and you're in the wrong place and you're looking for what's gone. Stop looking for the living among the dead. The first question, that's what Easter asks, is how many of us spend too much time, energy, and money trying to make something that's dead smell better? So we can cope a little easier. The second question Easter asks us today is, what dead places or cemeteries have you been looking for life in? The angels were saying that day to the Spice Girls, stop looking for life among that which can't offer you life. Broken and bruised people can't offer you life. Relationships can't offer you life. Education can't offer us life. A better career can't offer you better life. It might offer you a better paycheck. And in some of our minds, we think a better paycheck means better cars and better houses and better clothes and better opportunities. But friends, those things can't offer you life. Clubs can't offer you life. Bars can't offer you life. Drugs can't offer you life. Drinking can't offer you life. For some of us, I'm going to sound like an angel. He's not in the drinks. He's not in the drugs. He's not in the clubs. He's not in the party. He's not in the dream man or dream girl. He's not in the bank account. He's not in the vacation. He's not there. He moved. He's not there. See, the angels at the end of that says, he's not here. Why are you looking for Jesus here? He's not here. He's risen. He's risen. He's not here. He did what Buddha could never do. You can go to Buddha's grave. You can go to Muhammad's grave. You can go to Krishna's grave. You can go to Hitler's grave. You can go to Queen Elizabeth's grave. Great people die. We all have an expiration date on the milk carton of our life. But Billy Graham, great guy, great human being, great preacher, you can go to his tomb. He's not alive. But Jesus, he's not here. You're looking for hope. You're looking for life. You're looking for the person that can redeem you, restore you, refresh you, who can make you God-governed Christ. He can change your life. He's not here in a cemetery. You don't find him here because he's not here. He's risen. He's alive. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse it talks about if the resurrection for the dead didn't happen, then let's eat, drink, or be merry. Spend our time in dead things because there's no hope. But if there's a resurrection for the dead, we can't eat, drink, and be merry for tomorrow because there's hope. If he's still in the grave, there's no hope. But the disciples, so here's the girls, listen, he's not, why are you looking for him here? And then he says this, the angel said, remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered over to the hands of sinners to be crucified on the third day and raised again. And then they remembered his words. It's amazing how when life shocks you or surprises you that sometimes you forget what Jesus said. He said, remember what he said? He said that he was going to have to be delivered over to the sinners. Remember, he must be crucified. Remember that he would rise from the dead on the third day. Remember that? And then it says, they remembered their words. And then it says this, they went off and told the disciples. Now here's the challenge. Disciples are grieving, and they go tell the disciples, and then if you read another account, the women come and they tell them, and they go like, oh great, the church women told us he's not there. And now the disciples have a debate, like, do we believe the church women, the ones that bring the same casserole to the same potluck every year, or do we actually, so Peter and John talks about it. John says this, I'm the disciple who's beloved, and he says, I went to the tomb and I got there before Peter. He's like bragging. And they realize, it's empty like the women said it was. It's empty. Now, while this is going on, there's other things going on. Jesus is not just in one place at the same time. So Jesus is now, he's now walking from Jerusalem down to Emmaus with a couple people that were there for the celebration of the Passover. They're there, and on the Sabbath, they can't leave. But it's the first day of the week that it's now, that they're leaving now. They're walking to Emmaus, which is 7 miles from Jerusalem. And Jesus shows up, and the Bible says they were kept from recognizing him. And I want to pick up on the story because it says this. He asked them, like, what are you guys discussing? Because these disciples are talking and Jesus walks up and they're like just talking about this stuff. He goes, hey, what are you guys talking about? And they go, what are you discussing as you walk along? They said, they stood still. Their faces were downcast. One of them named Cleopas asked, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that happened there? Were you just there for an Aurora tour and you stayed up too late and so you didn't get up and you didn't feel, did you not feel the earthquake? Did you not feel that someone was crucified? Did your Airbnb not get the local news? Did you not have signal on your cell phone to find, did you, what do you mean you're the only guy that doesn't know? The chief priests, the rulers, they handed him over to be sentenced to death and then they crucified him, but we had hoped. We'd hoped. They had some broken dreams. They had some broken hopes. And they got a 7-mile journey where they're just like, got their chin on their chest. Anyone ever had a broken dream, broken hope? Life ever threw you a surprise and a curve and doesn't look like the way you thought it was gonna look? Well, here's another story where their faces are downcast and we thought he was gonna redeem us. They had dead dreams and there was a dead prophet and we listened to his words, but they're walking the 7-mile journey. So that, you know what Jesus does? Jesus says, hey, I want to show you what the Bible says. So he goes back to the book of Moses, which is the first 5 books of the Bible, the law. Then he opens up the prophet and the Psalms, which is what they had written in that day. And he describes what was going to happen to Jesus and how he must die that way and how he must be crucified. And then it says this when they get to Emmaus. So he walks 7 miles with these people. Let me just tell you something. There's some of you in here that don't realize Jesus actually wants to hop on the same road with you and walk on your discouraging time with you, link up with you. He'll listen and then he'll open the scriptures and you'll and perhaps he wants to come alive to you. But here's the story. So they get to Emmaus and they say, would you come eat with us? Now part of that was their culture. The other part was there's something in them that says, bring him in. And so they brought him in, and it says when he was at the table with them, he took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. I think when he broke it, he must have showed there were some nail scars on his hands. And look at what the Bible says. Then their eyes were open. Say opened. Their eyes were open and they recognized him. And then he disappeared. And then they said, were our hearts not burning in us the whole time on this journey? And then they took off and went back up to, I don't know if they hopped on one of those little Uber bikes you could kind of put your app on and but they rode back to Jerusalem and tell the disciples, hey, we just had Jesus in our house. He broke bread. We headed home. He's alive. And meanwhile, same time, same day, John chapter 20, on the evening of the first day of the week, like the evening, that's 12 hours from the morning. The women see him in the morning. By this time, the evening of the first day of the week, that's the resurrection evening. The disciples were together with the doors locked. There's a lot of fear because at that time, there was an accusation that Jesus wasn't really, he didn't really die, and the disciples stole his body. Well, then how come they never showed a body? Because there's no dead body, and there's a whole lot. And so they're behind closed doors for fear of the Jewish leaders, and then Jesus came and stood among them. Dude, would you just be like thinking you had like some weird trip? If you're in some room, a little bit of fear, and the guy that you're scared about because you heard he rose from the dead and you ran over there and you didn't see him in the tomb, but you saw the linen cloths that were there and they're not there. How did he roll himself out of those linen cloths? Because Lazarus, when he rose for the church, that they had to take the stuff off of him. He's alive. He's in the room and they're like, woo, this is freaky. This is before drugs were legal. Says this, the disciples were overjoyed. And then in Luke, same story, different author, different perspective. He says, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about in the law, Moses, the prophets, the Psalms. What's he do? He goes back to what is the Bible always said. The Bible's always talked about. There's someone who's gonna come and take the sins away from the world. They knew that. There was a Messiah coming. And he reminds them of that. And then it says this. Then he opened their, what's it say? Their minds. And they go, so they could understand the scripture. He told them, this is what's written. The Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations beginning in Jerusalem, and you're witnesses to this fact. What is he saying? Guys, I didn't just open a tomb. I want to open your eyes. I want to open your minds. I want you to see that life can be different than the one you have. You don't have to look for life in dead places anymore, because I'm not there. And I came to give you life and life more abundantly. The third question Easter asks is, how many of us understand that God didn't roll the stone away on Easter so he could get out of the tomb? He walked through locked doors, locked walls. He walked through, he didn't need to have a stone rolled away, but rather so we could look into dead places and see how empty they are. Friends, on Resurrection Sunday, I want you to know something. He's not in the grave because he wants you to look into an empty grave and realize life isn't found in there. He's not in there. He's not in that grave. He's not in dead places. You don't have to look for the living among the dead anymore. You can find life, and you can find hope, and you can find joy. See, God wants to, you don't have to spice your life up, and you don't have to keep dead things smelling better. You don't have to look for life where life is not. Life is only found in Jesus. Now, here's the challenge. Some of us haven't opened our eyes and opened our understanding or our minds to realize that. See, here's the thing about life. There was a day you didn't exist. But the moment you were conceived in your mother's womb, at that point of conception, there'll never be a day now you don't exist. You're eternal beings. That's why the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. See, the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about that there's people who build their lives out of gold and silver and precious stones and metals, and there's those who build their lives out of wood, hay, and stubble. And it's someday when we stand before God, and there's a judgment seat, and there's a judgment day, and everything we've ever done is going to go through. And if we've been looking for life in dead things burn up. At the end of our life, there's nothing. But the Bible says, in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I write these things so you can believe in him, and in him you can have life. Don't look for life in dead things. Find life in living things. If you believe it, now that word "believe" is a unique word. We believe in a lot of things, but we don't trust in everything we believe in. Years ago, there's a story, early 1900s, about a gentleman named Blondin. They called him Blondin the Great, and Blondin was at that time the greatest tightrope walker in the world. And he strapped on one side of Niagara Falls a cable, and on the other side a cable, and he walked across Niagara Falls from the U.S. side to the Canadian side on the cable with a bar, and he goes from one side to the other. People, and they'd announced in the newspapers. I mean, thousands of people showed up to watch. They put grandstands out there. They cheer for him. And then he says, how many believe? After he does it successfully, how many believe I can do this with a wheelbarrow? They go, yeah, we believe. Let's do it. And so he grabs a wheelbarrow, and sure enough, he walks across the entire Niagara Falls pushing a wheelbarrow on a cable. And he gets to the other side, and people cheer. He says, how many guys believe I can do it with a monkey in there? And they say, we believe. So there's a monkey in a cage, and they put it in a wheelbarrow. And he walks across the entire Niagara Falls with a monkey in a wheelbarrow in a cage. He gets to the other side. Everyone cheers. They say, yeah. And he says, how many believe I can do it with a human being? Oh, Blondin, and we believe. Yeah, we believe. And then he says, who wants to be the first volunteer? It's a difference to believe up here that God can save you and give you eternal life and change your mind and change your life and open your eyes to the reality. He didn't roll the stone away so he could get out of the tomb. He rolled it away so we could see that the stuff we used to put our minds on to try to make smell good isn't there. It's dead. There's no life found in there. We can believe that, but do we trust him with our life? The word here literally is pistis. It's a Greek word for faith. If you have faith that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you believe you'll have eternal life. See, here's what I know, and I can stand this. I can stand up here with complete honesty. If you leave this place and forget who I am, you haven't lost a whole lot on Easter Sunday 2024. But if you leave here today and forget who Jesus Christ is, you've lost everything. Some of you have been looking for debt, life in the wrong places. Some of you are tired of waking up on the wrong end of a bottle or a high or a party or a relationship that went south. And you're as empty today as you were before. Jesus is the answer. Maybe you're struggling through your mental health issue by yourself. Jesus will walk a 7-mile journey with you. At the end of it, you're gonna go, oh my gosh, my heart was burning the whole time. I just didn't understand what was going on. I knew there was something there. I just didn't, wow, my, I could see. I could see him. I couldn't see. And maybe you're here today and you don't know who Jesus Christ is as your personal savior. You haven't believed in him for eternal life. We always say it's as easy as ABC to start that relationship. A, admit you sin. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's plan. B, believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross to forgive us of our sins. And C, confess Jesus as the Lord of your life. So if you're here today, you've never begun a relationship with Jesus. Or maybe, friends, you've been putting perfume on something dead for a while. And today you want to change the narrative of your life. And today you want there to be a grand opening on a brand new reality. Whether you're here in the auditorium or in the overflow or online, I want you to bow your heads with me wherever you're at. And I want you to pray. If you're here and you say, God, Mark, I want this life you're talking about. I don't want to leave this place and forget about who Jesus Christ is. That he's alive, he's not in the tomb. I don't have to find life in dead places, I find life in Jesus. Pray this prayer as I pray it out loud. Dear Jesus, today I admit I've sinned. And I believe you died on the cross to forgive me. Please forgive me for my sins today. Please be my savior and my life leader. I confess you as the Lord of my life. Every head bowed, every eye closed, balcony down below. If you prayed that prayer with me real quick, would you just wave your hand and say, Mark, I'm not gonna embarrass you. I just wanna, anyone say, Mark, I prayed that prayer with you. Just wave at me real quick. No one looking around. Wow, there's lots of hands. Wow. Lots of hands. Anyone up in the balcony, just wave at me real quick. Thank you, sweetheart. Anyone else, just say, that's me. Thanks, bro. Anybody else? Down below, underneath the balcony, just wave at me real quick. Just wave. I don't wanna take time. You're here, you're saying, no, I want the Jesus that can give me hope. Anyone on the main floor now? Main floor, anyone? Just wave at me. Thank you so much. Anyone else? Anyone else say, Mark, that was me. All right. Lord, I thank you for those that raised their hand. I pray that you'd help them take the next steps now to serve you. In Jesus' name.
What a fantastic service. Be sure to stay in touch by following us on social media so you can stay up to date with all that is happening at True North Church.